double up. Three or four times, I ain't telling no lies. I just run it up. Never let a hard time humble us. Double up. I ain't telling no lies, I just, yeah. I ain't telling no lies, I just.
5, 4, 3, 2, that's time. I got to you that money. My dreams come true. My life in diamonds. Who knew?
Who knew?
Welcome to a new episode of Raw. I'm Myra.
I'm Cheyenne.
I'm Deshaun.
I'm Q.
So we are back and we're going to have a good discussion today. I want to introduce our special guest. She's been on our show before. So I want to shout out our special guest, Courtney.
What it do?
From
what's
LA.
What's popping, y'all? Thank you for having me today.
So she's filling in for Princess. We miss her, you know, the mother of the show.
Shout out to Princess.
You know, you're the mother. Because y'all calm these boys down right now. Jesus, we need you right now, Princess. Where you at?
Oh, my God.
We need you, Princess. Because you calmed them down, put them in their place.
She calmed me down too.
Yeah, we need her because she
gonna be texting in a minute.
Oh, okay.
You hear this? So, we back with a new episode. We, you know, got a topic that we didn't want to discuss, but you know, we gotta discuss it because it all affects us in a negative way, sad way. We want to celebrate his life, but everybody know about Nipsey Hussle. Death that happened last week, so want to discuss, you know, discuss that. You know, talk about the aftermath of that. What's been going on social media with other artists, is, and you know, just going. So yeah, kick it off.
All right, so yeah, man, Nipsey, RP Nipsey. It's still, I don't know about y'all,
it's still touchy.
It's still where it's like, is this real? Like, is he really gone? Because, you know, people in music, you can always turn on their music and you can just be like, I feel you every time. Or you can just watch a music video and it's just crazy to see that he gone. But, I mean, the first thing I want to say is I'm mad he didn't get these flowers and we can still smell them. But he was, didn't he go on iTunes? He's like number two. His album went, Victory Lap went up to number two, which is great. He got 4 songs on the Hot 100 right now. So that's great. You know what I'm saying?
57 million streams.
57 yeah. million streams.
And he owns his masters. So, right. You know what that means. Everything is going back to him.
Right. Going back to him and his family. But, yeah, that's why we brought Courtney here. You know, she's from out there. I know she is touching her way harder than with any of us. So,
yes.
How are you feeling right now? I know it's been, what, a week maybe, but how are you feeling?
I think what's important to understand is the fact that, like, being from L.A., like, of course, I've seen things that people from there have not seen. I've lived in things that people have not been able to live in. And I think it's this whole idea of L.A. being, like, this glamorous place. Like, when people think of L.A., they think of the Beverly Hills. They think of Hollywood. They think of all of the glitz and glams of L.A. They don't really talk about, like, really what's going on in South Central Los Angeles. And that's where I'm from specifically. I grew up in an area that, so I'm from Inglewood. That's where I was born, in Inglewood, but I was raised in the Crenshaw district. So Nipsey is from like the 60s, which is like Crenshaw and Slauson area. I am literally down the street from there. I was raised off a street called St. Andrews, and it's right by the Slauson Swap Meet. So I was literally raised right in the nest of where Nipsey was from. And so you see all this crazy shit happening when you like live in that type of area. So what Nip spoke about and what he wanted to change was like real. Like, and I can definitely attest to that because I was literally a product of that. So it's real. Like, him wanting to change shit was real. He was really like our beacon of light. So people in LA really feel like they lost like a leader. And for me, it's like, right now, we don't really got, like, millennial leaders. Like, you know, we don't really got, like, the millennial MLKs or the millennial Malcolms. Like, we don't really got niggas who's really trying to, like, reform and change and progress us in a certain direction. Right. Nip was that.
Right.
And he was starting in L.A., and he was planning to branch everything across the country, but starting specifically in L.A. because, of course, that's his home. But we don't have those type of leaders. So for us being back home, and I haven't even been back home. I go back home in May. But even just talking to my friends, talking to my family, there's like this dark cloud over the city. Like this dark cloud, and you could tell everybody's just kind of moving different. Everybody's moving slower. Everybody's just kind of like thinking like we're looking like an alternate reality right now, because there's no way that Nip died in vain like that. Like. Right. Not just on some like deaf shit, like getting shot, you know, like in plain day in front of his business. Like, you hear stuff like that, you just like, nah, that's not real.
Yeah, that can't be. So, I'll go ahead, Mara, my bad.
So, you know, the thing is like, it's sad that, you know, when you come from the hood, you go back to, and this is why, because I always, you know, was going, like, you know, not going back and forth people from the hood, from where I'm from, because everybody know I'm from Philly, I'm from the hood, but I always like, got on people, oh, well, you came from the hood. Like my sister, for example, she came from the hood and she don't even step back in the hood. And I always got on her, but I'm like, damn, like, you know, you from the hood, rep your hood, you know, go back to the hood. But like, seeing what Nips did is like, you went back to the hood, you tried to change it, and then you still dealt with a consequence because people were hating. It's just like, we gotta stop that shit. Like, honestly, as a black culture, a black community, we gotta stop that shit, because at the end of the day, it's like, as soon as you become a positive image, because I've seen it just regular people in Philadelphia. Last year we had one big impact in death, and it impacted the whole West Philly area, because he's a positive, like you said, he was that leader in West Philly, like he was doing stuff, and somebody killed him in plain sight. And that was actually my old hairstylist's fiance, and she was like, how you don't do shit? You're trying to change the hood. And
don't it make you scared to just want to be great?
It makes you scared want to be great. Right. It's like, if I go back to the hood and want to be great, I'm going to have a target on my back.
Right.
Like,
right.
It shouldn't be that way. Like, we should not be that way. Like, and it's sad. It's honestly sad that we are like that. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, no one can be great or without somebody saying, oh, I'm hating, or even somebody labeled a snitch, you got to go back and kill somebody. It's just like, we got to stop. Like, and I keep saying, put the guns down. Like, we don't have, like, what are we doing? Like, we don't have nothing to show at this point.
Right. Deshaun, did you have something? Or you?
Hey, man. You know, I've been a Nipsey fan for, I remember my cousins put me on the Nipsey, like, 4 years ago. And I was like, he's straight, you know. But I think it was like 2 years ago that I listened to the Crenshaw album.
Yeah, Crenshaw.
And I was like, damn, like, okay, like, I feel him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to hear this new album, Victory Lap, it was a breath of fresh air and it felt good. You know, right. It felt good, like, in... to figure out, I mean, because I didn't figure out what he was doing in this community till after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I was just looking at him from a rapper. But to look at him, look at what he was doing, he went to his old school, I think, and
59.
paid to get the playground revamped. He had positive words and stuff on the fences and all of that. Also too, bought half of that little strip mall he was in, putting a restaurant, hiring the people in the community. Like, nigga, that's what it's about. But at the same time, to the social order of things, he's a threat. Just to be 100.
That's sad.
That's Fred Hampton.
But that's true.
That's Fred Hampton.
You're right.
That's revolutionary. That's Pac. He achieved what Pac didn't get to achieve.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know, so that right there hit me in my heart, man. And they listen to him say certain things in songs. I'm like, damn, like, nigga, like, you a real motherfucker. He gets the praise of a Fred Hampton, of a Tupac, of a Dr. Francis Quest Wilson, all these revolutionaries that stood for something and they died for something. And, you know, I mean, I understand people say don't go back to the hood, but so what? He felt like the hood was that important to die for.
Right. And I agree with you, like, the hood is that important, but it's like, when you got people trying to be great, it's like, it kind of put, it's like, do we go back to the hood? Do we not go back to the hood? Like I said,
we go back.
It's like, I always argue with my sister all the time, because she's from the same, she was born, she dealing with my mom, you know, during the drug addiction. She was around during a very hard time in the 80s and 90s, my mother. So she's seen shit that I didn't see, but I still see, you know, I seen just as bad as she did. But she was around during an academic that was very heavy in the community. But it's like, she'll take my nieces through the hood, but as far as her giving back to the hood, she don't, and me and her get into, like, heated arguments while I go home. I'm just like, I don't understand how, you know, yeah, my nieces are in private school. I get that. They're in private school. That's good and dandy, fine and dandy. But it's like, you don't even go back to your own high school. And I'm like, that puzzled me. And it's just like, it's like I'm in between of how I feel. It's like, everybody know I'm very much getting back to the community. That's about me. That's always I'm going to be about, especially with teen girls and teen boys. Because, like you said, they don't have nobody to look up to. They don't have nobody to say, hey, here's a leader, and, you know, a millennium leader. And it's like, do we go back or do we not? It's like, if we go back, we got to worry about if somebody going to be hating on us and they going to have a target on back. Do we not go back, and then we get this label that, oh, we don't give a fuck about the hood? Like, so it's like, which one do we do?
Yeah, so I was watching right after it happened, somebody posted on my timeline, just a little Boosie interview, where he was basically saying, like, yeah, man, if you're doing great, you got the most haters, like, back from where you're from. So it's kind of similar to what happened to Nipsey, or really any artist, like you just said. If you're doing something right, the people where you're from are the ones that's going to hate. Like, he probably, any other city, probably nothing would have ever happened to him. But of course, when you go back home, you got people who, oh, he ain't put me on, or he ain't give me this money, or he from a different set, or whatever. So
that's what happened to him. I mean,
so like, okay, so even let's just go to like the week, not the beginning, but like that day of. So all I know, Quinn, you probably know more than I do, but all I know is that he was going to his own shop to get some clothes for a friend. He had a bodyguard.
No.
And then somebody ran up on him.
So
how did they even know he was there?
So this is what happened.
How do you even?
So. Oh, did you?
Yeah, I don't even
me. I've been on this shit, like, yeah. And it's a lot of unanswered questions. Yeah. I'm not gonna speak on it, but it's just a lot of unanswered questions.
I have friends from Nip's hood who I've talked to. So this is nothing that I've heard from online. I mean, you can definitely see online what's been told, but I have, you know, friends that I've known who are from there and who've given me the side. And pretty much it was a normal day for Nip. Like, he literally had his daughter with him. He was going to the store because it was a homie that had just got out of jail. Right. And he wanted to give him some merch before he went to his family's house. So Nip, of course, being the beautiful being that he is, was like, bet, like, I got you. I'm on my way to the store. I'm going to drop by. You know, I got Imani with me. Like, you know, and we're going to keep it pushing with our errands. So he goes to the store, and the person that shot him is a known snitch in the hood. Like, wow. He's a known, like, nigga that is about that snitch life. I think he was just locked up. And I think Nip was on some, like, show me your papers that you didn't snitch. Like, I want to make sure that you didn't snitch. Mm-hmm. But then also, too, that is kind of even debatable because I heard two different versions of that. Somebody told me that he wasn't even trying to, somebody said that he came in trying to, you know, spit a rhyme to him. Yeah. And Nip was like, all right. So, that could also be taken side two different ways. But more of the story, it definitely, at the end of the day, was on some hater shit. Whether Nip pressed him on some snitch shit, or if that dude was just on some, like, hater shit. Like, regardless, it was still hating. So,
period.
I mean, I kind of want to backtrack a little bit and kind of piggyback off of what Myra was talking about, like, how she was torn. And I feel like the biggest thing with, like, a lot of the revolutionary people who have taken that platform to stand for something is it's about what you value. They value the art of change more than their life. Like, Nip is a hood nigga. He been around death all his life. He knew what he was getting himself into by taking this route. Like, he knew potentially this was gonna be a target, but he believed in changing the community that much that that didn't pump fear in his heart. So I think it comes down to what you value. If you value, at the end of the day, like, it don't matter, I wanna be something that's gonna be bigger than myself and caters to the communities and give back, that's what's important to me, then you gonna go back to the hood. You gonna put on for the hood, regardless of whatever threat is against you. Same with MLK, we can go back. MLK knew what he was doing. He was in, that was in the worst time. Didn't pump no fear in his threat. He was still walking, doing marches and still, you know, trying to advocate for Black lives. You know, same with Malcolm. And they knew these things, but they valued that more. Mm-hmm. So I think if you can stand in that, then by all means, you know, like, it comes down to that. Then I also want to just piggyback on one more thing. he was talking about Nip's achievements. And I also want to make sure that this conversation is directed towards us, understanding, like, you know, how he died and it's fucked up. But I also want us to commemorate his memory in a sense of, like, acknowledging, like, what the fuck this nigga was really doing. Like, right. I took some time and I really researched what he's doing. Like, Vector 90, like, he partnered up with, like, one of the top real estate people in L.A.
Dangerous.
And literally, and it was like God ordained, because he was talking to him at a Laker game. He didn't even know who he was. And they got into an argument. That argument transitioned into, I have a business proposal. Then that business proposal turned into Vector 90, a program that Dave wanted to put on. And Nip said, I want to be an investor in that. Like, what? Vector 90 is so dope. It's a way that he is trying to connect inner city youth with the idea of tech advancements. Like, Nip learned how to build his own PC because he wasn't able to learn how, he didn't have the money for studio equipment, so he built his own PC. So he developed a love for tech and felt like, fuck having inspirational leaders and fuck kids looking up to entertainers and athletes. No, we need to be having niggas look up to Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg. Like, them is, that's where the money is at. Like, Nip was a complete visionary on another level, and for him to come from the hood and be thinking like that, like, I really want us to celebrate his soul in that sense. Like, don't get me wrong, how he died is fucked up. But at the end of the day, fuck all that shit. I want to talk about how much of a pioneer this man was. Like, it, like, that's what, how I want to commemorate his memory right now. And I know I'm getting kind of passionate because, like, I am shaking from his death. That shit is foul. It's foul as fuck. But at the same time, like, I want to make sure I'm doing my job and making sure that I'm celebrating him in the right way, celebrating his life in the right way, and talking about all of his accomplishments. And I was looking at everything that he's doing. Like, you know, he was in works with DJ Khaled and somebody else, and they were talking about buying the hotel in Santa Monica called the Viceroy, and giving an opportunity so people we can have an opportunity to have a Silicon Beach, which is in Santa Monica, which is a very expensive area in LA. But they were gonna buy that so we can get more blacks in tech over there. Like, I'm just, that man was just next level. So sorry, go ahead.
Tupac, okay, I know I said it, but I'm just saying, like, if Tupac had the opportunity, Nipsey was able to take that ideal and bring it to fruition. Like, that shit, it's on another level. Like, and I'm really being modest when I say this, bro. Like, this nigga was on some other shit, though.
Like, it wasn't like...
Because, like you said, that Vector 90 shit, they was teaching people coding.
Right.
They was teaching motherfuckers how to do some really, like, some hood niggas. Not like, oh, yeah, Seth from Louisville. Right, no, they teaching Jaquan from Oak Cliff how to code. Basically, like, I mean... People like, man, the nigga was a threat, and you know, I don't care what nobody say, that nigga was a threat. He was a fucking problem, but his death sparked. I could just tell it sparked something in everybody.
Oh my God,
it sparked something in everybody.
Seriously,
so it's making you look at your life a little bit differently.
Like, are you moving with intent?
And that's basically honestly, what it's like. Are you moving with intentional movement? Or are you just doing it because you want a clout, or you want that name, or you just want to do? Oh yeah, I'm doing it because, you know, it's going to look good. No, are you doing it for real? Like, for real, for real.
Because,
like,
the rappers, good. Oh, my bad, I'm going to get you. But the rapper, like, it sucks because the rappers and shit that ain't talking about shit, which is 50% of them, 90% of them.
I'm about to say
90%. It's like, they go to the hood and don't nothing ever happen to
but
them.
But that's
in the hood.
My plan, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just saying, if you're not doing nothing important, or if you just about you and your money and your clout,
ain't nobody going to worry about
you.
You
just doing whatever.
That's fuck shit.
Yeah, if ain't nobody going to worry about you. You can come to the hood, you can do whatever you want, walk through the mall, bullshit. Nobody don't care. But once you're trying to change shit, it's like, that's what shit, you know, go wrong with you.
Go ahead, Shelly. What you got to say?
Shine, been silent, Bob.
Right, like, what's going on? Wake up over there.
No, I'm awake.
Wake up.
You know, I'm gonna be 100. Like, I've been hearing a lot about Nipsey Hussle, yada yada yada, and all this stuff that happened. And you know, a lot of people been talking about it, and people been asking me about it. And I just keep it 100. I knew nothing of Nipsey. Like, I heard about him. Like my brother, Bless Center, Freeman Boy. You know, my brother, he a rapper, and I mean, he loved Nipsey, all my brothers do. And I heard about him, but I didn't know anything about him. Like, I never into his music. All I knew was, yeah, this nigga look like Snoop. That's all I knew.
He talked like Snoop.
So I've seen him and I'm like, okay. I don't know anything about his music. You know, like I to this day, they be like, bro, how you feel? I don't feel no kind of way. I mean, like that because.
But can't you? No.
Hold on. No, I'm saying like, like what Deshaun said. Like I didn't know anything about his music, but. A couple of weeks before all this stuff happened, you know, he came to Dallas and he did a little. I thought it was a concert.
I was there too.
I thought it was a concert. Like the way it was put to me. Oh, Nipsey's coming. Like, who the hell is Nipsey? They was like, oh, he cool. And my brother was like, bro, go check him out. I'm like, all right, cool. But when I went there, that was my first time hearing this dude talk. And I'm sitting there like, damn, he don't sound like a regular rapper. Like he was talking about, you know, the same thing we talked about a couple of, like real estate, you know, mental health with black people. He was just talking, you know, Dr. Sepp. I mean, he was talking about all this stuff, and I'm like. Who the fuck is this dude? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's when I really started getting interested. I'm like, I didn't really know anything about him, but listening to him, everybody, like, and to me, what was pissing me off, everybody was getting mad because everybody was like, oh, I thought he was performing, yada, yada, yada. And everybody was leaving. I thought, you know me, I didn't know this dude. I didn't know anything about him. And I'm sitting there like, damn, yeah. Because everybody thought it was going to be a concert. They didn't know he was going to be doing what he was doing.
The flyer is very transparent.
People don't want to hear it.
That's all I was
people
hearing.
Don't they don't want to hear You know that. I mean, people that, the flyer was very transparent.
That's all I was hearing was he's supposed to do a concert. Even the dude that invited me was like, yeah, he's doing a concert. But I'm like, bro, I ain't never been. I don't know.
They just seen Nipsey here and they thought it was a concert.
Yeah, true.
And then people don't want to hear it.
But see, okay.
Real.
Like Deshaun said, though, like you said, I didn't know anything about him like that. So I never got a chance to know the music part of him. But like all the stuff that he was doing, when I actually started reading up and I started just. Listening to what, you know, I went back and I started, I mean, I'm looking up, and I remember hearing about him a while back, you know, with the whole cryptocurrency stuff, and I remember seeing him talking about it, but when I went back and looked at all the videos, I'm like, this dude was on another level type shit, like, you know, people look at him like, oh, he a hood nigga, but no, this dude was on another level. Now, I can say I don't know anything about his music, I still don't. That's the shit that's really pissing me off, that everybody is, like, dick riding this dude now because he's dead, and you don't even, I mean... I was at work. I'm like, some girl was talking. Like I said, name three songs. She couldn't even name three songs.
I'm sorry. I had to interject. I have a problem with that mindset.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I'm from LA. I didn't get into his music until Victory Lap, and I listened to a little bit of Crenshaw.
Right.
But I think everybody's not really affected by necessarily just his music. It's his impact and what he was doing. Why? And it's crazy too because I'm on Twitter very heavily, and I've seen people say like, "Oh, you wasn't a real Nipsey fan." It ain't about the music. It's about the impact of what this man was doing. Like we just, I just mentioned, he was literally like on revolutionary levels. He just mentioned so many different revolutions. We play him in categories of MLK. So fuck his
Malcolm
music.
X.
Like, see, but fuck the music. It's about him as an individual.
I don't know anything about his music. I know about that stuff, but I don't know about
the book. I do got a question for Cheyenne because you are a reform, you know, hood guy that you know
reform.
Reformed. He knows. I was gonna say that about him, but. Can you honestly say that that is an issue we have in the black community? Like, can you honestly sit there and say, like, that's something that we have in the issue in the black community that we honestly need to work on, but it's so embedded in our community. It's like, how do you work on like, not the haters, but, like, the support that we don't have the support of a black community that we used to have anymore. That's what I'm saying.
Honestly, I heard y'all say that. Like, I heard you say something about that. Q made a comment about it. She made a comment. He made a comment about it. And what I was sitting there for being quiet because I was really thinking, like, I heard the comments about it. And I was thinking to myself, you know, like, I went back to my hood a couple of times. You know, I'm from Keystone Polk. And a lot of the people, Keystone Polk.
Where is that?
That's Oak Cliff.
Yeah. Oh, y'all gotta educate me.
It's streets. Have you been to Oak Cliff?
It's kind of like you. Eyelashes done.
It's Bloods over there and it's Crips over there. It's the same thing. Same thing. Keystone Polk, you know what I'm saying? Spring Ridge Apartments, what's up? I had to give it out to my boy, though, you know what I'm saying?
Make sure all they follow on our podcast.
John Barrow.
They already is. So, my thing was, I thought about what y'all said. In my head, I was over here thinking, like, damn, this same shit happened. You know, like, I feel like what he did, I didn't really know anything about his music, right, but I respect him as a man because everything, the other stuff that y'all was talking about.
Which makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? I respect him because, you know, I've done it a couple times. I went back to my hood because, and I do think it is a very big problem. Every rapper that I know now, have you ever noticed every rapper that comes from Dallas always go away? And they all say the same thing. You have the most haters in your own hood. Why? I don't know. It's just like that. Like, we need to do better. Like, it's like that. I don't know why it's like that. It's just like that.
I don't know why. But the funny thing about this topic is, or about that situation is, it's funny because, okay, MLK and Malcolm X, obviously, that was during segregation, slavery, whatever you want to call it. So, yes, but then since then, really, the only people that, like, okay, so athletes, They do all kinds of stuff in their hood. There ain't nobody coming for LeBron for building the school.
Where?
Ain't nobody coming for, like, they're not trying to kill athletes. They want to kill
but,
rappers.
But the thing about
why
it,
not kill rappers?
No, but the thing about you have to look at the details of it.
Athletes from the hood.
Exactly. Exactly.
You have to look at the details. Exactly. Because one, you have Nipsey Hussle, which is a certified Crip nigga.
Yeah.
And he's with the shits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, so.
And athletes ain't never really been.
They
might have been hood.
Some of them. And that school that LeBron started is nothing but white people in it.
So, exactly.
You know, like, yes.
It's probably
a couple of black people
it's
with black teachers. That's what I'm saying.
All the pictures I saw were like black kids.
Black kids, but the teachers, they're white. So that's what I'm saying.
Oh, shit like
that.
It's the devil is in the details. Yeah. So when you say
look who LeBron hang out with, Nipsey was hanging out with.
Hey, just think.
Oh yeah, big difference.
But. Just think if LeBron bought that school with no media coverage because he had he had to. You know, with his name, he gotta bring them in. But I'm just saying, if he would have started that with no media coverage, under the radar, hey, I'm hiring Shaquita from down the street to teach Shaquanda, all these and put them in that school and say, hey, look, we trying to up the. I guarantee you, LeBron probably he wouldn't be the LeBron he is now.
But
I swear, that's one
example. I'm saying athletes build parks, they get foundations and schools and don't.
Bro,
I'm just saying,
what's
why
the
they
issue?
Don't,
that's a tax
no,
write off.
My thing is,
I agree with Deshaun.
It's who they go. Through, bro.
Right.
That's a
and
tax write off, bro.
Right.
Maybe.
It's like,
I'm just saying.
And I'm not coming to LeBron because he did some great things.
It ain't
too,
just him. I just
but,
mean athletes.
You know, but athletes in general, they do things for the media to make themselves look good. Nipsey didn't do it. He didn't
give a fuck.
Exactly. He did it for attention to make the hood.
I didn't know
better.
About it till he died. Yeah. We
you
didn't
mean?
Know about
me,
these stuff.
Exactly.
And you know what?
And that speaks volumes to me. Like, that speaks
volumes.
So compared to what LeBron doing, what Kobe did, what all these athletes did, they do because for media coverage, oh, yeah, it's going to make me look good. It's going to make me get my ticket bracket up. No,
exactly.
No one knew what Nipsey did until when he passed away. And that's the impact that has. It's like, damn, like you really was doing all the positive shit. And it's like you had this hater just, and it's like, it's like I said, whatever situation happened, whatever it was, you know, between him and the guy, but. In the day, between athletes and what Nipsey did is two different things. He didn't have the media there. He didn't have.
It wasn't for clout.
He didn't have the shade room there.
Yeah,
he didn't care about none of that. He did it for the reason of to get the hood on a better place.
Yeah.
To get his hood on a better spot.
Right.
LeBron, I'm doing it because, oh, yeah, it made me look better.
I don't even think it's fair to even do the whole comparison thing about what everybody's
doing.
Because
they're not comparable.
Because at the end of the day, niggas' MOs is always going to be on that level. And that's once again why I even took that statement kind of like a little sideways when you said like the whole, oh, you don't know Nipsey songs, because it's like, we didn't need to know his songs to understand his impact.
They came at me about the music. I don't know anything about the music.
I'm not getting on you, sorry.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's
like,
just, I've been seeing that constantly. Like I said, I'm heavily on Twitter, and I've constantly been seeing people like, oh, well, you, fuck all of that. Like, the fact that this man literally was on these levels of thinking, like, I was even researching, I'm sorry, I was, like, really heavily researching this past week, and I was looking at, like, his method of, he put together this thing, this is what kind of low-key got him on the map a little bit, but he created this thing called Proud to Pay, and it was basically, like, this reverse engineering psychology method that he came up with, which was involving streaming. He was like, yo, like, we're now in the digital era of paying for music, like, I'm about to reverse that mindset and create a method where people are going to buy my physical copy of albums. Mm-hmm. He was charging niggas $100 and
period.
People were buying
exactly.
his albums for $100.
Jay-Z bought 100 copies.
Because he respected the hustle. It's like, damn, like, even we think about his marathon store. It was a smart store, which means on one of the tags, you could scan from the marathon store app, and you could scan the tag, and some of his lyrics will pop up on the app or some shit. Some type of cool-ass idea like that. I'm just like, damn, look at how he was thinking and bringing that to the hood. I'm
going to just say this once, but this is why I feel like it wasn't just no random nigga killing him.
It's not.
He was set up. But
sure
hey,
was.
I'm not going to get into that, because I don't want...
Like,
But I don't want to get into that. But I'm just saying, man, truth is the truth. I'm gonna stand on what's real. But anyway, he He was a fucking issue towards corporate America. On top of the fact that he's trying to expose the fact that all exactly. So now, at the end of the day, the fact is he's from the hood.
It's going to happen, and that's what I'm trying to tell you.
You from the hood, like everybody know from the hood.
That's what pissed me off. Like to kill somebody in the hood, bro. Like that's
it. Ain't nobody had
no gun. It happened.
I know it happens, but I'm saying
that don't mean it's good though.
No, I'm not saying it's good. A person of that caliber, bro.
I was definitely not unique.
He just showed me an article from Blueface. Blueface, basically, people been on Blueface's head. Everybody's on Blueface's head because they're like, damn, and Blueface, you ain't said nothing about Nip. And Blueface basically responds with the fact of, number one, like, me and Nip wasn't no best friends. Like, niggas get shot.
Tatiana.
So, he basically is like, yo, like, niggas die from the hood every day. Don't get me wrong. I feel bad for his kids. I feel bad for his girl. But I'm not about to sit back and mourn like everybody else is mourning because niggas get shot in the hood every day.
Right.
So, I'm just saying, Nip getting shot is not unique.
I can understand, I can accept that
if he wasn't doing what he was doing. I could accept that if he was Blueface and he was just out here.
Like I said about my homie back at home, he was doing a bunch of positive shit, and nigga got killed in broad daylight. So what the fuck do you mean? It happened.
Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, all of these niggas was killed by other niggas.
You know what?
They was killed by other niggas.
You would just sum it up and say, you know, like, I've heard this comment before, and it kind of pissed me off when I heard it.
The government will pay another nigga to kill a nigga.
Yeah, of course. For sure. Because money is a motherfucker.
Period.
You give me $20 million to kill him.
Okay, but he didn't get paid.
And he was already working with the feds. Come on, nigga.
Like I said, it happens in the hood. I agree.
You know what? I've always wanted to do a lot of stuff like how you do with kids, and I've had like so many ideas and so many, like I've been talking to a lot of people trying to get like, you know, like companies and stuff because I have plans myself that I've been trying to keep secret or whatever. But because I feel like even like with Nipsey, like I'm reading up on these dudes. Some of this stuff wasn't even out in the media. Like some of the shit he was doing wasn't even out, and that brought me back to how my dad was like. Sometimes, you know, people fuck up their blessings because they run out here and telling everybody wouldn't be on TV. That's what he was talking about, how some of these people out here, like these football players, bro, if you really think about it, if these motherfuckers came out here and gave $1 million, like this rich motherfucker, if they gave $1 million, if each person gave $1 million, this world would be so, like a better place, bro, but they don't do that.
No,
and my thing,
not.
Like how he was talking about the differences between some of these people out here, some people do it for clout. You got football players, basketball players that's doing this shit not because they want to, because they agent tell them to, or the motherfucker that's around tell them to do it.
Right off.
Just like that whole video with Drake when he's giving money away to homeless people and shit.
Oh, the
like,
guys
I thought that was
video.
Cool as fuck.
Goofy,
until
man.
I went back and read,
goofy,
that money wasn't even his.
Yeah, it wasn't his.
I was like, what the fuck?
And that was the tax
like,
write-off.
Like
anyway.
That
nigga you know goofy,
man?
Bro.
Like, little shit like that is what just kind of set people... And Nips was
well,
doing shit.
See, oh, that's so touchy. The only thing touchy about that is whether you, bro. I feel like giving back is always good, whether
it's
for PR
it is.
Or not.
But what's making me scared right now, bro, with that kind of shit, like the shit that I want to do is, it seemed like, I'm not trying to be, you know, with the conspiracy, blah, 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 but it is what it is, facts. It seemed like every time a black person, you know, comes up and want to do good things for black people or
something
you know, happens. In that power, something always happened to them.
Oh yeah, it guaranteed.
When you black and you speak up, something gonna happen to you.
No.
I can only speak for black people because I'm black. I can't talk about no other race.
You can't say no government pain.
Yeah.
You're saying from black
I'm just saying
people
from
what you, and
my
what
view
experience.
Over the years of me living these many years, every time a black person come into power or want to do something positive, it's like they want. Nipsey's a hood nigga. When Nipsey's doing hood shit, Nipsey's cool. But when Nipsey start doing shit that can change the world or change how we live and bring us up, oh, it's a motherfucking problem. He gonna start getting haters. Like, and it seems like he just always like that. I think there's a lot of powerful black people out here. A lot. But I think Hollywood, I think they're scared because they know shit that we don't know. They know if they say certain shit, shit go happen.
Right.
I believe in that shit, but I'm just saying, like, I don't like when it's some powerful black people out here, bro. And every time one person speaks up, something happens. I think maybe if we had maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 motherfucking Martin Luther Kings, you know what I'm saying? I think shit will change. I just want the shit to change.
So I got a question. So any other positive person that got killed in the hood, you all blame the government?
Huh? I'm not talking about the government. I'm saying, I'm speaking from the haters' point of view.
Right, okay,
I'm not saying government.
Okay,
I'm talking about they get killed by whoever.
Thank you.
I'm not.
I don't care who they get
killed. I believe in conspiracy, but I still got common sense, too. I'm saying, exactly. Period. Thank I'm saying you. It's always going to be a hater. When you up there, you trying to do something positive, which I hate to say it. When black people try to do something positive, it's always, for some reason, it's always another black motherfucker that's going to hit on you first. Why? I don't know.
The only reason why this topic is touching, like I said, I had a homeboy literally the same, not even, it been a year as of today. Last year, he literally got killed in his car in broad daylight, and he was doing parties, promoting, doing all this other, giving back to the community, doing all stuff with his girlfriend who has a hairstyle, who had a brand, Be Your Hair. So that's why this shit hit me the most. I'm like, the same shit happened to him. So you want to say it's a conspiracy, the government? That shit happens every fucking day.
Yo, you're trying to compare something all small right. to something. Something big.
How is this
that's
small?
Not that's he, not he the same.
West Philly.
It's not the same.
Depending
it's
on power.
It's just not the same.
It impacts
it's not
West
the same.
Philly.
Power's it's different. Not the same.
Oh, because he wasn't
it's
a
not
rapper.
The same.
He impacted the whole city of West Philly, no matter how it happened. When he died, we all was hurt by it.
But was he impacting the entire world though?
It don't matter.
He yo, okay. I'm about to prove my point.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Let's go down the list here. Martin Luther King, his wife, went to court. This is on document. This wasn't in the media. She won a case against the United States of America saying that they killed him. They had him assassinated.
He never went out.
Malcolm X doing some the similar things that Nipsey was doing. Was giving a speech. Four niggas ran in with shotguns and killed him in front of his family, in his entire family. The government did that. So Let me finish. This dude. So y'all gonna sit up here and tell me that it's impossible for the government to do this when they subjected us to over 400 years of slavery. These are the descendants of those same people.
I don't think nobody's disagreeing necessarily with the idea that is a possibility. I think 110% the government can have the authority and the power to do that. However, I think from where me and Myra are coming from is on this level. I'm sorry. I think being from where I'm from, and I'm going to speak on that.
And being from where I'm from,
gang.
It's not also too far-fetched to think Nip was just caught up in some hood shit.
I agree.
Like, I'm sorry. I'm not discrediting your conspiracy theories. I think 110% MLK was definitely shot off some shit, off some hair government shit. 110% agree. But right now, I think in 2019, in this situation, when Nip was going the next following day to talk to the LAPD about... To talk to LAPD about resolving gang violence in whatever case it may be, whatever. I'm just more so saying it's also not too far-fetched to think that this was just on some hater hood shit.
I never said that. No,
it could be either one.
It could be both. One. So we could just agree to disagree and say we're not discrediting your idea with conspiracy. You're not discrediting our idea with hood shit.
I'm not saying that you're not. The thing about it is I'm not saying that
so
y'all are
point?
Wrong. I'm saying that, okay, on the surface level, you're right. But on the grander scale, I feel like I'm right.
So then disagree.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, and I agree with that. I'm just saying that whole conspiracy thing.
It's not a conspiracy if it's a fact.
So
they call Malcolm X and Martin Luther King a conspiracy.
But the thing that you're reading, how do you even know that's fact? Like, we don't ever really know the truth.
Because
like,
the truth stays the same. The truth.
Okay.
The truth stays the same.
I don't know, bro.
It's a million different stories out.
So you choosing to believe
you
the
choosing
conspiracy.
To believe in one.
Exactly.
No, I'm choosing to look at the fact.
How do you know that's a fact? How do you know that's a fact?
Okay, wait.
I want to really address
I got a question.
I can go there, but we don't have the time.
Yeah, we're talking about stories, because I remember she said something. It was a couple of stories, which, you know, I have a homeboy that stay out there, and you know, and I was just trying to get more information about what happened. He, you know, his story to me, from what he was telling me about the dude, and I'm looking online, I'm hearing the stories. Okay, so everybody know a dude in the hood like that. Okay, if you from the hood, you know respect is everything.
Mm-hmm. Period.
And I've been there. I've been to your hood, and I don't care what hood you think you from. I don't care where you come from. Okay, everywhere got a gorilla. Everybody got gorillas. There's gorillas everywhere. Right. There's monsters mm-hmm. everywhere. Right. There's hood everywhere.
Period.
But it's something about that fucking state. I'm not scared to go no fucking where. I'm telling you, I've been everywhere. I'm not scared. But when I got to that.
You talking about in L.A.?
Yes.
Oh, what area were you in?
Man, my partner brought me to, was it Watts? Watts and something. He was just bringing me around. And, you know, I'm not scared to go. Like, when I go places, I want to go to the hood. That's just me. But there, it was something different about that place, bro. Like, my partner telling me I got to be careful. Like, I'm like, ain't nobody going to tell me what color I can wear.
That's every
I understand, but it was just different. It's just different. The only place I've been to that's like that is Jamaica. Like that, but,
Jamaica, you know. Jamaica, a whole different level.
But there, it was just different. Like, you just feel the respect. Like, people looking at you different ways. You know, the way you dress, people looking at you sideways. And out there, to me, I felt that respect is everything. And from the story that I was hearing about the Nipsey thing, for me, I felt like the dude who shot him felt disrespected. From the story that I heard, it felt like he was like, oh, you trying to embarrass me in front of all these people, yada, yada, yada. So, it was just so much. I heard two stories or whatever. I mean, I don't really care what happened. Stories. Yeah, it is. But it just seems so weird to me. Like, my thing is, it's just real fucked up that you can't do something positive for your people without somebody want to do something stupid.
No matter who it is.
I don't care if you white, black, Puerto Rican. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, it's just,
either way,
it's
somebody.
Just sad,
and
period.
And I'm even have his back a little bit further because I think I just read a story about a social activist who was found in a river.
Yeah, I heard
she
about
was
that.
A, you heard
the,
about
the,
that?
Yeah.
She was it was a black girl who was a social activist and she was found in a river. We could take it back to say her name. What's her say it one more time,
Sandra Bland.
Sandra Bland.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we can take it back to all the different type of people who were activists for us all of a sudden, you know, disappearing. So I can agree, and that was me having it back. However, I still stand tall on the fact that I personally am just gonna stand on the fact that this was just some haterhood shit. And I'm sorry.
And it might be both. It might be all I'm hating on them too, then too. The government might give me some money to knock this nigga off.
You know what?
Like,
either way, something happened to.
We can do a show about that.
Hey, but I don't even get on that. But I do want to say, man, you right, y'all right. We should
focus
that energy on.
I don't
doing something positive. I'm just speaking on. I just spoken there because I was mad. I was just like, man, like after I'm seeing all the shit he did, I'm like, fuck this nigga gone now. Like what the fuck, like you know,
see,
like
you would think people would use this as a. Like a flame to grow.
They are. Like, everybody know that. I've been on my, you know, getting my mentorship program off the ground. Ever since he passed away, I've been on my hustle 10 times more. And that's literally what it is. It's like, we got to continue the marathon. And
next question, I guess.
But it's not just about the hustle, man. Let's be better people, man. For money, all the money in the world ain't going to make you no stand-up person. Period.
I think again,
because it's a lot of fuck niggas out here with millions of dollars, yo.
I think it comes down again to like my initial point. It depends on what you value. If niggas value going to be what niggas are on. We can't change people unless they want to change themselves.
Exactly.
So if you are valuing wanting to be a better person for the sake of your community, if you are valuing I want to uplift my community, then that's what you're going to do. However, there's niggas out there like a blue face nigga who don't give a fuck who out here
want
to bust.
Try to get the bag.
They want their money.
They want the bag.
So it's like we can't really force that. So I think it's important that we focus on what we can change. And that was gonna be my next question.
Yeah. I think, like you said, is like what we can do as individuals to continue that marathon. Is that yes, I've been to Tribute, yes, I've been to Candlelight, yes, I've been to all the the Morris before him. But we have to continue with the marathon. Like I said, I'm not saying my hustle hadn't changed from the jump before him, but I am more focused on changing these kids' life because they are our generation behind us, and the way the generation behind us are leading, they're very fucked up, and it comes from generation issues of issues and issues and issues. Like, these kids are generally are fucked up. And it's like, we have to go back in the community. Like, much as I want to say, okay, I was a little worried about it. It's like, you know what? I've been to the home back, and I've been back in the Dallas. I'm not even from Dallas area, but I've been back in that area. Like, getting these little girls, like, listen, come to my event, do this. We have to continue what he was doing. In any city, any hood, we have to continue what he was doing. That's just basically what it is. We have to continue it.
Okay, back though from what you said, you know, I kind of respect the point that you said. You took what happened, negative and all, and you know use that as, like I said, as, you know, as gas to flame another fire on top of what you already doing. And my thing about this whole Nipsey thing, I don't really give a fuck about the music. I don't really give a fuck about the hood shit that he was doing. I don't give a fuck about all the other shit. I respect the dude because of what he was doing, what he wanted to do, what he could have done, what he was gonna do. I can honestly say I respect this dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, just, and I've just been reading up on him for 2 days. 2 days. My brother's been telling about him for years, and I was like, man, I don't want to listen to that shit, because they was just on the music shit. I didn't understand how, because, you know, nowadays music, it just really get on my fucking nerves, because yeah, these new niggas,
you don't even wanna,
no, bro. I'm saying these new niggas, if these new kids would actually take away the fucking beat and stop listening to beats, that's all they do is listen to beats. That's why I stop listening to music.
Yeah,
if you take away the beat and listen to what these motherfuckers, your favorite rappers are saying,
trash,
nigga, you be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Then what Deshaun is talking about will come to light, but people don't do that. They just listen to beats. Yeah. But when I actually said, like, when I seen him talk in person, I'm sitting back like, damn, this dude got some, you know what I'm saying? He on some real live shit. And he's on the same shit I'm on. He's, you know, he started talking about some more shit. And I'm like, you know, and my thing is, I want this to wake people up. My thing is, one thing I hate is when shit happens around, like, us black people, we get fired up about it for about 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, and then we go back to normal.
I
don't want it to be like that.
I was gonna say that too.
Like, do something about it. Stop talking about it. Do something about it. Yeah, right. I hate that shit. So I hate the hype mode.
That's what I was gonna say.
Like, when I made that comment earlier, that's what made me mad, because I feel like people just hyped about it, and then next week, Kodak Black is doing something. Yeah, everybody going to Kodak Black now. Forgot about Nipsey. You know what I'm saying?
It's like they jump from distraction to distraction.
Yeah, bro.
So, like, that's what I was gonna talk about, like, the aftermath of this. So, the aftermath of this is obviously. So first of all, it's always the initial, like you just said, the initial aftermath, which is 3 to 5 days of everybody playing Nipsey or mourning or posting him on Instagram.
I've heard so many Nipsey Hussle songs.
I don't know. I feel a little indifferent about that, because I think when celebrities die, like, let's take Mac Miller, for example. When Mac Miller died,
yeah, that's true.
It was like, no disrespect, and RIP, but it was like, all right, a day or two, over it.
Because he never did anything to impact the people.
People are really still mourning
him. Niggas
is
hurt. Yeah, they are hurt.
Like, people, I honestly, genuinely, fuck, I lost, like, a big bro that I never met. Yeah. So I don't know if Nip's death is going to go in vain like that.
I hope not.
That's going to be my 2 cents with it, because I don't see his death doing that. I think a lot of people have woke up, and I think at the end of the day, people be proud of the fact that that's what his death did. So, this does pose the question, like, well, what are we going to do to continue the marathon, you know?
And let's talk about it, do something about it.
You know, the aftermath is being a positive impact, is literally making intentional decisions. If we're going to go back into the hood in the community and make these decisions to be mentors, to be opening stores, to be opening black-owned businesses, whatever the case may be, make sure we're doing it with intent. Because if you're just doing this for the clout, or you're doing this to, you know, I want people to recognize me, it's no point. Don't waste our time with it. And that's on some real shit. Don't waste our time with it. If you're not doing the intent, which is what he did it with intent, that's what we can do at aftermath. All your decision-making for, do shit with attention. And that's basically what it is.
And even if you can't, even if you're not in a position, do nothing for your community, man. Just find you a way to have some character, nigga. Have some ethics, nigga. Have a code about yourself, something that you gonna live by and you gonna die by and you gonna stand on. Because, nigga, it's plenty. We have too many fuck niggas out here. We have too many niggas that's willing to do whatever just because, oh, I want to get some followers. Yeah. I want motherfuckers.
That's what everybody wants.
Like, bro, that shit goofy, man. I don't understand it. That's why I don't be on social media like that. Right. Just, if you see on social media, I'm with my son, you know, or I'm, you know, trying to say some real shit. Like, man, fuck all that shit, man. That shit goofy, bro.
I feel like it's funny, though. I read, once again, I'm always reading. I read another article about this idea of millennials, which is, of course, all of us in this room, but specifically our age gap is interesting because we grew up in the era of there was no technology at this level, and we were the era that transitioned into right. not going, not having it, and to having it. So mm-hmm. we have a very interesting dynamic because we have the best of both worlds.
Right. We remember. So we remember.
Yeah.
Remember.
So I think it's important that because we have this interesting House type phones. Of dynamic. No, listen. I think it's interesting because we have this dope dynamic of being attached to both worlds. It's important mm-hmm. that we understand how to communicate to the people behind us. I think it's easy for you to be like, oh, don't be on that goofy shit. But you got to think, the kids behind us were raised in this, and this is all they know.
Yeah, I'm not speaking to them because they can only do what they going
to
learn.
No, we need to be talking to them. We need to be directing it. I'm just more so saying, figure out a way. I think that's something that I'm going to contribute to.
I'm dealing with the crucial 13 and 17-year-olds, and everybody know they're a headache. But I'm learning not to be a mother figure. You have to actually be like a big sister.
You got
to
talk to them differently.
Talk to them as a
get that shit from their parents. They don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah. And it's like they don't want to hear, oh, you're doing this. They don't want to be yelled at. And I had to realize that with my mentee, when it comes to her social media, I'm like, I know how I was when people were like, oh, you doing this. I was like, I'm being a mother. You actually have to talk to somebody as a friend and be like, this is what you're doing that could lead to this way of life. If you do this way, this could destroy your future. So it's like when you talk to them as a friend and show the interest, they're actually open up more than just shutting down on you. So because they're so focused on social media and not realizing what can affect them later on in life, it's like when you tell them what is the negatives of certain social media posts or what they do, they actually will listen. We're like, oh, okay, it makes sense. Right. But if you're trying to be a mother or a father figure to them, they're not going to listen to you.
That's why
they're
I said not. It's important to understand our dynamics because we are low key. We can understand the older generations, the baby boomers, because we can tap into that. But we also can tap into the new generation of the Gen Z or whatever the next generation is. So that's why I'm like, it's important for us to not just say, oh, don't be on no goofy shit. No,
because we have balance.
That's what I'm saying. We had a balance. So it's important that we take our balance and our findings and our balance and figure out a way to directly communicate to the younger generations in a way that's like, okay, I feel you. Instead of being talked down to, it's like, no, I'm genuinely having a conversation with you, bro. Exactly. Like, I can feel you, but I'm also going to give you this real shit,
pros
too.
And cons.
And that's why I love, just to piggyback, when you're talking about just music, I love J. Cole's 1985 because it's a direct, I don't know if y'all heard 1985 by J. Cole.
Yeah,
of course. I'm just saying, he looked at me like, nah. I was like, oh, damn.
Oh, you don't jam Cole,
but,
bro.
I love music.
Music is trash. Music is trash, bro.
So I love that song because it's a direct call out to these young niggas. It's like, yo, have you ever thought about your impact? Like, and I love that because it's like, damn, like they not thinking like that. They not thinking on those levels. And to be honest, Nip Shooter was a young nigga. He was a young little nigga out here. I think he like 25.
Throw it off in the head.
Like young little nigga out here roaming the streets. So it's kind of like, we do need to be talking to these niggas. Like,
and it's crazy because mental illness is so bad with the younger generation. It's ridiculous. Like I said, I'm not paying my mentee business out there, but let's just say it's a challenge with my particular mentee because like I said, it's a lot of shit that she's seen growing up, that she dealt with growing up, and she's from Fort Worth. And everybody know Fort Worth is not the best place to be. The poverty level out there is very bad.
What she seen growing up,
and she's only 18. She was like, I'm stressed. I'm like, stressed? You don't know what the hell stress is.
Shit, these kids nowadays,
they know. I got a 17-year-old sister.
Different.
I got a 17-year-old sister and a 16-year-old sister.
But it's like 17, 16, 15. You talking about
we were still playing with toys.
They got different things. But it's because the internet.
I
was playing with different toys.
Okay, that one was.
She was sneaking off getting shit money her mama. No, she not.
No,
she wasn't. She had that deal pickled.
But at the real, hey, be real. When we were 16, 17, we was into some.
Yeah.
But not what they get to do.
I was watching Booty Talk 1, Booty Talk
2. And you had the remote on the last track.
Man. I was fucking. I know I was fucking.
So the funny.
I know I was fucking.
All the pornos came from her homeland. If you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Booty Talk. Booty Talk.
Hey, but when we were 16, 16, 17.
Not Silicon Valley.
Yeah, we cared about sex and shit, but they have to worry about like their social media. They have to worry about the internet and how they're portrayed.
I couldn't imagine being 17
right now.
These kids are weird as fuck. I'm sorry.
I'm so glad I was.
These new age rappers making our kids weird as fuck. Every kid is borderline gay to me now.
They have to parent differently.
They're not parenting. Like I said, when she said she was stressed,
See, that's the problem.
Like,
there's
I'm like stressed.
There's no more fathers.
As I graduate,
there's no more great grandmothers anymore.
Okay, again, this goes back to my first point, y'all. Mm. Like, we now have to put ourselves back into that balancing act and realize, yes, this is not how we grew up. We get that, but we still have to find a way to
now we sound like our parents
effectively. But we still got to figure out a way to talk to them and get through to them on a level.
Yeah, you definitely do. We have to do that because the youth is the future. But my only thing is, what I'm thinking right now is that, of course, we have to teach them, okay, this is the impact and all this other stuff that matters. But how are we going to explain to them that, hey, don't go to the Little Pump route or the Little Peep or whoever the new dudes with the 6ix9ine, don't go that route.
That route is
go the Nipsey route, but the Nipsey route gets you killed, but still go.
No,
I'm
Nipsey
saying,
did it perfectly.
How
do
you tell you them know how? That? How do you tell them you know, not to be a goofy and be something?
Do you know what's controlling these young kids? It's the media.
We might need a part two of this.
We would have to have some type of input on the media content that these children are able to see. Because at the end of the day, that's what's fueling them.
But see, Nipsey did it perfectly because I'm going to be 100. When I went to see him, in my mind, I'm like, oh, shit, I'm about to see a concert. I want to see some hood shit. That was on me. But I walked in, I'm like, oh, this weird ass thing. You know what I'm saying? So I walked in, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna see some hood shit. But my thing, Nipsey did it perfectly, bro. And I think that's the perfect way to talk to these kids. When I walked in and I'm sitting and listening to him, I'm like, okay, he's talking about some shit I don't really want to hear about. But it's just the way he was like
that he modeled it.
The way he was saying it. Yeah. He was still on some hood shit. Nipsey sat up there, he was slumped down in his seat, bro. Just slumped down
his
hood
chains,
shit. And you know what I'm saying? And I was interested because he a hood nigga, he talking to me. But he ain't talking, you know what I'm saying? He ain't talking at me, bro. And like the way he this is the way he put it.
No, listen, let me tell you. So I dated a guy who worked at Boeing and he was like a recruiter. And he told me his approach with how he would do certain things. He was like, I don't show up in a suit. Like I'ma show up in some Yeezys. I'ma show up in a sweatsuit.
And I'm the same
and he was like, the kids came to me like, dang, like this is not what I thought working at Boeing.
And I'm the same way. So when a lot of kids see my social media, they're like, You
become relatable. You become relatable.
I'm doing this pathway so
you guys can talk.
It's like I'm dressing like that. And I'm like, what the? I had one girl and she was like, wait, what? You got all these credentials? You would never know because I don't.
That's how these kids are. If you dress the way they dress,
you have to talk the way they talk.
Not saying you got
to
be fake.
Slang.
Our generation, we still own that.
Yeah.
We're not as bad, but we own that.
Yeah, we know it.
We grown up a little bit, but we still we can get hood when necessary.
Yeah.
Myra. We can get hood when necessary, or we can talk, you know what I'm saying?
The only way you can really do it is if you have to alter, you have to make it relatable to them. So you have to dress like they dress, use their words.
You didn't even gotta dress like they dress.
Dress like that now.
But you're not gonna get these new kids to go to some seminar and listen to them talk about impact. They don't care about that, bro.
These kids is gone. I think having
that type of mentality is what's going to prevent us
I'm not saying that we can't do nothing, but I'm saying
that's what it's going to take, our innovative juices to come together and collectively think.
Okay, so yeah, my event is on April 28th. So shut up.
But I'm just thinking, should I say one thing about Nipsey? Like one thing that this is one thing I gotta say about him though. That something that I really took from him. I'm watching the video, and my son is 10. You know what I'm saying? And I've always said this. I feel like black fathers need to talk to their kids, mothers, whatever. It's a lot of shit that we don't tell our kids that they don't find out to let on. You know, like credit and all that crap. And I heard him talking about how he used to talk to his little girl. He was saying he was teaching his little girl about credit, teaching girl about credit cards, teaching girl about loans. He said that's what a lot of black people are missing. They don't teach their kids that shit.
Nope.
They don't set their kids up like white people do.
Agreed.
For the future. You know what I'm saying? When you put your kid's name in something, it's supposed to help them for the future, not help yourself.
That's how I put it.
And he said something like that. And I remember hearing that. So, you know, I was talking to my son and I'm like, you know what? I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't gonna say nothing because I didn't feel like I was biting off of him, but he was just like, you know, the dude makes sense. So I started talking to my son about college and stuff like that.
No, you were biting off him, and it's okay.
I mean, you know what I mean? But I didn't want to make it seem like, you know what I'm saying?
No,
I'm like,
you know,
right.
It's okay.
Like, we don't talk to our kids about
that
stuff.
Change.
No, I'm just saying, like, I didn't want to be like I was, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, like,
I feel like he was right. Like, we don't talk to our kids right. about that.
We don't talk to our kids about credit, financial.
We need to.
The shit that matters.
The shit that matters.
People don't spend and quality time with
their kids. They got their kids. But see,
so why can't that be a part of our marathon? Like, why can't we figure out an innovative way to communicate the great.
We need more fathers.
And that was my next question. That was going to be my next order of concern, because what I want to actually pose that question to all of you guys. Like, what individually, I know we have Myra who is going to be talking about like her mentor program, but even specifically in with everybody else, I want to know specifically, how do you plan on continuing the marathon in your own way? So you can start there. Myra, we're going to just go around. Oh, okay.
My son.
Just do a quick snippet, I guess.
Since my son been born, I've made a point to educate myself, not just on information in the world, but more of having things to offer him to say, look, man, this is what you can do to produce you something to where you don't have to go out here and beg nobody for no money. You can just make your own money, and you can decide, okay, man, how am I going to impact
the
world?
So this is how you're going to continue.
Exactly, and I'm going to do that through my actions. I take my son with me to do Tai Chi. I put him in my thing, and he does Tai Chi with me. Okay. And I'm also doing welding. Once I master this shit, I'm going to go into electrician. I'm going to teach him how to do all of these different things, you know, and I'm just trying to make it for him. That's what I'm trying to make it for my son, because I know me, and I know, you know, so. But
and
that's it.
For me, as far as all of that, like you said, this generation, it's Facebook, IG. So for me, I had to, like, I think I'm going to look at all my social media. Like, literally, I've been taking down some shit off my social media. Like, I'm serious. Like, a lot of shit that is not helping nothing, I'm taking that shit down. Like, I've changed up my IG a little bit. I've been trying to do a little stuff on my Snapchat. Like, all that. Because nowadays, you look on there, you see his ass, all that crazy shit. I start taking it down. I feel like I need to do more. No, I'm serious. I need to do more, you know what I'm saying, for me, my people, like. And I really want to continue what, you know what I'm saying, what he was doing, because I feel like we need to do more in our communities. We really do. It doesn't have to be your community. It can be any community. Just help your people, bro. Like, that's what he was trying to do. I mean, owning a whole shop. I mean, we need to bring money back into our own community. So I think we need to just help each other, understand each other, and I think that would be better.
Right. So what I was going to do, what I took from this as far as the marathon, I would just support, like, even if you don't have to start your own movement, you don't have to, like, start your own community service or start your own mental health program, just support somebody, especially somebody that looks like you, somebody who's black. Support them. Support the groups that's, like, on the up and coming, who's doing mental health, who's doing community services.
You can volunteer,
kids.
Just like with Myra.
Just volunteer. Yeah, volunteer. It doesn't, like, hey, what you need help with? Like, with Myra, right?
We love kids.
What you need help with? What can I do? That's really the best way, like, just to continue the community engagement.
And aside from just, like, being a mentor, like, everybody know my event is April 28th, which I've really been, like, blowing everybody IG up, but it's about self-esteem, where we're digging into social branding, we're digging into affirmation words, we're digging into question and answer, we're digging into everything. What's your vision? So, you know, making sure that we actually listen to their vision, because a lot of kids don't know what they want to do when they graduate high school at this point. So it's like, what is your vision after high school? What do you see yourself doing in the next 5 to 10
years?
There's
more than sports and rapping.
Exactly. What is your goals? What is this? Because if you know, break an ACL, whatever, rip it, you're done out of sports. So it's like, what is your long-term goal after this? So it's like making sure, like, you know, my program touch on everything. And then from there, it will be community service and will be credit, you know, financial workshops. So, like, you know, building these kids up, because, like I said, a lot of them have a positive role model where they can speak up to a woman, you know, who is in the professional field, who is it. So, you know, it's always just, you know, doing that. So that's basically what I'm doing moving forward.
I think for me, what I'm actually currently even in the works of doing right now, and I'll make this fast, what I'm currently in the works right now is I'm orchestrating like a millennial town hall meeting back home, because I want to have a place where millennials can have the opportunity to channel this frustration and this anger from Nip's death into a positive way. I want this to be Nip motivated, but we're not touching anything with Vector 90. We're not touching anything with any of his actual active programs that he's implementing. But this is a way for us to take his death and figure out a way from our own personal resources what we can do to continue his marathon. So hopefully you guys can be on the lookout for that. But this Millennial Town Hall meeting that I'm creating should be coming up soon. But I just genuinely can't let this man just go to vain like that in my own personal way. Mm-hmm. But I'm down to support any of you guys' ventures that you guys want to create as well too. But yeah.
So, you know, we got into a real deep, got kind of heated as always. But, you know, wanted to shout out, you know, Wolf Nation Studios for, you know, actually believing in our vision, actually growing us. Breakfast Club, we coming for your spot. Just know
man,
that.
I'm trying to tell you.
You know, we coming for your spot. Amen. Charlamagne, we coming for you.
Man.
So, but in the meantime.
Snack club.
But in the meantime, make sure you guys are following our IG _RawPodcast. We are also on YouTube at Real Authentic Words Podcast is the whole name. Yeah. On every listening platform, we're on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, you name it, we're on it. We want to shout out to our guest, Courtney.
Thanks for having me,
you know,
guys again.
Shout out,
I love,
you know, your personal,
out.
You know, your info, whatever. Thank you want to give out.
She from Gangland.
gang. So,
I always love coming on here. I always like fucking with you guys. Y'all really do be talking about some raw shit. So it's always a pleasure. You know, you guys can definitely follow me at Court_4 and follow my YouTube page at Let Me Ask You This. Let Me Ask You This. But yeah, y'all show me love all the time, so it's only right that I show y'all back. So thank y'all.
So as you know, we tune out. We got another one coming up, but as of right now, we tune out. And like I said, sending your feedback, everything. Please make sure you know how had you know Nipsey Death affected you, and what you're going to do to move forward and continue the marathon. That will be on our Instagram tomorrow. We're going to be asking you know for a discussion on Instagram. But moving forward, what are you going to do to you know to you know, continue the marathon, you know, as far as the Nipsey Death. So in
help
the meantime,
your black people.
Help
black
people. Help us. But make sure you rate, review, give feedback, and we holler at y'all later.
R.P. Right. Nip.
Party at Q House.
Peace.
Hey, hell no. Double up.
Double up. 3 or 4 times, I ain't telling no lies. I just run it up. Never let a hard time humble us. Double up. I ain't telling no lies. I just.
Yeah.
I ain't telling no lies. I just.
5, 4, 3, 2. That's time. I got to you. That money. My dreams. Come true, my life in diamonds.